Okay, let's go back to our seats, please.
Good. Heavenly blessings that he might receive.
Okay.
God, the every mercy is always the
voice. Thank you for the music. We may stop it now. Well, so good to be here today. Welcome all of you to XICF. So happy to be here again. Before we start, may I have your attention, please? Some of our brothers and sisters, whether they are here today or they are not present today, that doesn't matter. They need some peace in their hearts right now. They need some comfort from the Holy Spirit. I kindly invite you to join me in a minute of quiet intercession for them, for anyone of our XICF people, that at this moment today they need some comfort from the Lord. And so let's pray for them. Let's pray that the peace of Jesus Christ, that is beyond any human understanding, will flood our sisters and brothers that at this moment need it. In the same way that the Lord makes miracles in our flesh and bones, in our biology and chemistry, He can also make miracles in our soul. Let's pray for that. And even though we don't need to know all details, but we can send our love to the ones that need it right now. Ask the Lord to do that for you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, today is our sermon number 16 on the Old Testament. You know, we are going book by book. In some books we stay longer, in others we go a little bit faster. Last Sunday I preached from the book of Joshua, and I hope that you remember what is my agenda. You know, there is no such thing as an unbiased sermon. There's no such, that doesn't exist. We can't. It's impossible. So, what we want is that our bias is aligned with Jesus Christ. And then we are cool. We are okay. So, I am very, very biased. And just, I want to make sure that I am aligned with the Lord. So, one critique that I made on last Sunday is that sometimes, as I see the church at large, and I am part of that, so I include myself in that problem, because I think it's a problem, is that we read some stories with probably the wrong emphasis. And so when I remember the book of Joshua, I basically remember the battles. When I remember King David, or if I ask our children about King David, usually, they remember him with a sword and doing what I call a barbaric act of beheading an already dead man. And that's what they remember. Why they remember that? Because we taught them that. And specifically, because we just give them or teach them using materials that we, frankly, don't do a good job filtering them through the light of Jesus Christ. And those materials were written by people, Christians, yeah, but they had their own agenda. And sometimes their own agenda, they are not even fully aware of their agenda because they just repeat what they heard. So, my intention through these sermons is to, being faithful to the biblical account, try to explore other aspects of these stories. Now, next Sunday, I am going to touch on a very, very difficult story. And I warn you today, it is not suitable for young children, probably not suitable for minors, but it's 100% biblical. And so please pray for that. And if you are uncomfortable with some mature topics, if you are uncomfortable having your children listen to these mature topics, make sure that they go to their classes. This is next Sunday. Today, because I was informed that a lot of children would be here today, I skipped that story. I just postponed it. I'm doing it next Sunday. So today, it's going to soft thing. It's a very easy thing. We are going to have a look at the transition between the book of Joshua and the book of Judges. So we will review the last words of this man of God, Joshua, that we remember as a military, an army general. He was a great army general. But it was so surprising for me when I read again the book, but with trying to read it with Jesus' perspective, and I found something quite interesting. And then we will land on the book of Judges, how this book starts. And again, we will try to learn things from both books. Okay, so I believe Joshua's central message, as he was reaching his last days on earth, his last days of life, it is basically two things. Be faithful to the Lord and be grateful. If I can learn anything from Joshua, besides that he conquered Jericho and so many other places, I would say, be faithful to the Lord and be grateful. So let's read a little bit of what Scripture says. This is chapter 23, when Joshua knows he is passing away soon. And let's see what he tells his people as he is departing, as he is saying farewell. Be very strong to observe carefully all that is written in the scroll of the law of Moses, so as to not turn aside from it to the right or left. But hold fast to Yahweh your God. Take utmost care for the sake of your life to love Yahweh your God. Now, this is very interesting. Do you remember what were the commandments that Joshua received from the Lord when he was about to start his military campaigns? He said, do you remember last sermon I did? It was two things. One, be strong and courageous. And do not depart from my law. So these two things. The first one clearly referred to physical strength, to military strategy, to all the bravery that definitely he had. He was a brave man. All these physical, manly aspects. The second one was, abide to my law. After so many years of successful military victories, after so many years of being such a great leader and accomplishing everything, now that he passes his role to the next generation, it is very interesting for me that he does not touch on the physical strength or on the military strategy. And he asks his people, basically, abide by the Lord of God. So when he uses the expression, be strong, but it is qualified to observe, verse 6, be very strong, Joshua says, to observe carefully all that is written in the scroll of the law of Moses, so as not to turn aside from it to the right or left. Verse 11, love Yahweh your God. For me, that is something impressive, that this man, with all that experience, he commands his next generation only abiding to the Lord, because he knows ultimately that is what will make the difference. I have a friend that he was deciding whether to buy a house or to rent a house. And his dad, his father, is an expert on that. That's his business, real estate. And he was moving to the area of his dad. So his dad is an expert on that. Naturally, he asked his father for advice. What do you think? What would be a better financial decision? Rent the house or buy it? And surprisingly, his father said, you better pray. And pray and pray. He knows better than I. Amazing. But it was just the wise advice. And so Joshua, being the expert, the military expert, and a brave man, this is the only command he gives to his troops and to his next generation. So when we teach our children the Joshua's stories, I wonder if instead of focusing only on the battles, we can also emphasize this type of insights, where we see Joshua at the end of his life recommending his people and soldiers to abide on the word of God and not relying on physical strength and military strategy. That is why in my last sermon, as a summary, I was pointing to the character of Joshua. You know, it is something that is so important. Sometimes in our modern society, we value knowledge so much. We value experience so much, but sometimes at the expense of character. In my opinion, a Christian character should be at the top of the list. Okay, now, one specific aspect that Joshua emphasizes about the law is a prohibition of cross-cultural marriage. He says, for indeed if you turn back and join these remaining nations among you, and you intermarry with them, marrying their women and they yours, know for certain that Yahweh your God will not continue to drive out these nations from before you. So he warned them not to do intermarriage. And this happened several times. However, this is just, I am sharing this because I just want to ignite your curiosity. In the future, I don't know how long this will take me. I want to prepare a sermon about cultural intermarriage in scripture that had actually a very positive outcome. And so we will touch into this topic and wonder why that happened if it was clearly prohibited. But we will get into that later. In my second point in the last sermon, I actually talk about the value of the outsider, if you remember, talking about Rahab. All right. Now, one topic that I think we should review today is that of the covenant, because I think we have some confusion here. And through these stories in Joshua, we can see this covenant. A covenant, as we see in Scripture, it is kind of a contract between God and his people. We see it more often in the Old Testament, that's for sure. For example, the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants, basically to give them land and make them a nation. In the New Testament, Jesus shifts the scope of the covenant, and instead of land, it is about the forgiveness of our sins. However, remains the idea of making us a nation. However, it is not with earthly citizenship, but now it is with heavenly citizenship. So it's not anymore about land, physical land, but it is about our souls. And that is why in Romans 8:27, it says, and this is the covenant from me with them when I take away their sins. And in Luke 22, when Jesus is sharing his last meal with his disciples, he says, and in the same way, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. We know the blood is for our redemption. So the new covenant is not about land anymore, but it is about our souls. And so, what is a misunderstanding that I often see in the church? We are always exalting the faithfulness of the Lord, which is true. But the problem is that we don't talk about the other part. You know, a covenant between these two parties has something else, has a list of agreements, has a list of conditions. It is like the clauses in your contract that we need to take care of. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, listen carefully, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. Now, this is a source of encouragement because we know for sure that the Lord is always faithful. So that is great. Up to that point, we are very good. The problem is how we interpret the faithfulness of God. Sometimes it seems to me we take it as permission to us to do whatever we want, and that we will get away with it. Why? Because he is faithful. He will remain faithful. And so he will keep blessing us, even if we fail and we become cynics and do whatever we want, because we are already part of his covenant. I think in those cases, we are just projecting our desire into Scripture. But unfortunately, this is not what Scripture teaches. God's faithfulness refers to the fact that he's always willing and ready to fulfill his part in the covenant. But the covenant is arranged between two parties. If we fail to comply with our part, God is not obligated anymore to do his own part. I want to say it again. In a covenant, there are a series of clauses. That means what each part is required to fulfill. The faithfulness of God means that he will never quit by himself. In other words, if it was like a business, he would be the perfect partner. He will never let you down. He will never come with a surprise. He will never talk behind your back or steal some of your money or never. He's the most reliable partner, if you would. But if you are unfaithful to the rules, if you breach the contract, he has no obligation anymore. This is clearly seen time after time in all these stories in the Old Testament. And usually, we don't pay attention to this. Joshua 23, it says, "For if indeed you turn back and join these remaining nations among you, and intermarry with them, marrying their women and they yours, know for certain that Yahweh your God will not continue to drive out these nations from before you. They will be as for you a snare and a trap, and whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land that Yahweh your God has given to you." But not only in the Old Testament. The New Testament also teaches this concept, especially in the book of Hebrews and also in Peter. And so we need to be aware that the faithfulness of the Lord does not give us protection when we decide by ourselves to step out from the covenant. It is our decision, but we need to be careful with that. Don't misinterpret the faithfulness of the Lord. Now, when we know that the Lord will never quit by himself, I hope this will give us peace of mind, that he will always be there for us, fulfilling his promises. But let's take our part seriously. Is it worthy to step away from this reliable partner? Would that be a smart decision? Is it worth the risk? In other words, brothers and sisters, don't play games with the Lord. It's not worth. Let's do our best with love to remain faithful to him. And this is exactly the message that Joshua is giving to his people. And the second part that I said is about being grateful. Through Joshua, the Lord says, "Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, I gave to you a land that you have not labored on, and cities that you have not built, and you live in them. You eat from vineyards and olive groves that you have not planted." And I believe for XICF, this is a huge message. I invite you to be aware of the blessings that we have, that we did not even work for them, but that the Lord just gracefully and generously has given to us. Each one of you have your own in your family, probably in your school, in your working place. But we have one in common, at least one in common. And you know what is that? This church, this fellowship. If I do a quick look here, I may be wrong, but more or less 99% of us did not, quote unquote, plant this church, including myself. My family and I, we are just receivers of this blessing. The Lord could rightly tell me, I gave you this fellowship, this church, to become your family, a fellowship that you did not start, that you did not plant. But it was other faithful men and women who years back, they did all the hard job. And thanks to that, now we just come and freely enjoy being together worshiping the Lord. We should be grateful, and we should not take that for granted. You know, some of our people, sometimes they move to another towns in China, especially when there are smaller towns, and they call me or email me, "Oh, Pastor Gabe, we miss so much XICF." Not because XICF is special, just the point that they don't have a church over there. So we should not take this for granted, but we should be grateful because we are enjoying something that we did not plant. And probably 80% of us here, actually, even if the church is already here, but we do nothing or very little to help the church keep going. Most of us, we just come and sit down and receive. Well, I hope this will encourage you to change that. Or at least, honestly, to be grateful and say, Father, thank you for what you are providing. A place that I did not spend any effort meeting with the government and doing all this hard work that some of our volunteers do, and I'm just receiving your blessing. At least, let us be grateful. Well, those were Joshua's last words. Abide by the word of the Lord and be aware that you are enjoying blessings that you did not work for. Just, you are just enjoying them because I am giving them to you. And then we enter into the book of Judges. What we see here, let me touch on the covenant concept again. The Lord said, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you to the land that I had promised to your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you. But what happened? What happened? The Lord promised he would never break the covenant with his people. But what happened? That his people were not faithful. And thus, the covenant was not valid. Or at least, God had the right to step out and stop blessing them and stop protecting them. Do you remember, and I have emphasized this several times because this directly applies to us today. The Lord asked many times that they were responsible on teaching their children his law. And I have said here, the church is not mainly responsible for teaching our children the word of God. We do it joyfully, and it's a great blessing when we can. But the responsibility is the parents. So these people of Israel, they didn't do that. Verse number 10, Judges chapter 2, says, that entire generation was gathered to their ancestors, that means they died, and another generation grew up after them who did not know Yahweh or the work he had done for Israel. That means these parents failed to teach their children the way of the Lord. So that an entire new generation didn't know the Lord. And this is amazing. They didn't know the work God had done for Israel. Brothers and sisters, I cannot overemphasize this. You have heard me saying this. We need to have memory. If we don't remember, how can we be grateful? You remember I told you? That's why I'm wearing this cross hanging from my neck. Because I don't want to remember those days at the hospital when I was not able to breathe. And when doctors told me, this is tough. And they didn't know how to fix my condition. But the Lord did a real miracle, and that's why I am able to breathe. But I am very imperfect. What if I forget? And so I decided based on my human weakness, I need something to remember. And that's when I bought this cross. And that's why I wear it. As a memory of the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of the Lord. So, I would like to invite you prayerfully this week to just sit down pray. And don't talk too much. If you can, do a little bit of what some Christians call contemplative prayer, which I in my tradition back home, we don't do that, to our loss, frankly. But then I had the opportunity to do a stay in a monastery. And I learned this from the monks as I was living with them. It was so beautiful. And I realized I have been, all these years, and I didn't have this. So in this contemplative prayer, don't talk too much, please. Just let's learn to just enjoy His presence. Try to be aware of His presence and try to listen to whatever He wants to say. And this may take days and weeks, but it's beautiful. So I invite you this week to sit down and ask the Lord, please show me what memories of your blessing I should be aware of or more aware of. And He may start revealing to you some flashes, spots, scenes, not S-I-N-S, but S-C-E-N-E-S, passages in your life where you say, wow, I don't know how I had forgotten about that. Father, thank you. Let me share with you one. For 4 years, we lived in Texas, in the United States. And the traffic rules are a little bit different than in Mexico. And we were on a highway, high speed, and then I went to the side lane. I went out from the highway to the side lane. In my Mexican mind, I was still on the highway, so I had the preference of pass, the right of way, yeah. I had a right of way, and so I was not driving fast, probably 40 kilometers per hour or something. And then there was a crossing, okay? And in my mind, I could just go ahead. And then the last few seconds before the crossing, I saw the red sign that I should stop. But it was just, I would say, secularly speaking, it was just a coincidence that in the last couple of seconds I saw it. It was the Lord that did that for me. So, because I was not driving fast, I was able to stop. Exactly, I stopped maybe 1 meter or something from this crossing lane. I stopped, and at that moment, I just saw this shadow, big shadow, and it was these, they are called 18 wheels truck, this huge truck. I don't know which speed it was. Maybe he was at 50 miles per hour or something, whatever, but it was like. The whole family were in our car. That would have been a tragedy. I should never forget that the Lord saved my family. I should never, never, ever. So write down all these happenings in your life where you need to recognize the Lord saved me, the Lord protected me, the Lord provided. Did you hear Daryl's testimony about his wife, Gina? I'm sure they will never forget that. Let's do that. Let's do the same. Okay. So, this entire generation didn't remember the works of the Lord. They didn't know. And so they did evil in the eyes of God. They forgot him, and they served other gods. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel. And he sold them into the hand of this king, and the Israelites became slaves. Just imagine. Was that the plan of God? To let his children become slaves? Absolutely not. But they reached that point because they forgot about the works of their Lord. And then the Israelites cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh raised up a deliverer for them. And here is what judges mean. This word, deliverer, is a child of God, a person that is called by the Lord to rescue his people from the misery where they find themselves. Now, we see a cycle here that happens time after time after time. The people rebel against the Lord. Their lives are totally ruined. Their lives become totally miserable. Then they repent. This morning as I was reviewing my PowerPoint, I said, you know what? This is not the right word. They just regret. It's a big difference. They just regret. But anyway, the Lord is good. So he raises, after that, he raises a deliverer, a judge. And then they get to rest again. Sadly, the cycle starts all over again. They rebel again. Their lives become totally ruined. They cry out to the Lord. They regret so much what they did. The Lord provides them a deliverer, a judge. They rest, but then they rebel again. So, are we in any way better than these people? Do we regret before we get caught? Do we even repent, which is what actually we should do? Let's not fall into this cycle. I have done it, and I can tell you, it's not worth. It's not worth. Why we should see our lives in misery if that is not the plan of the Lord? And that is not the covenant that he has made with us. In his covenant, our lives will thrive, because his kingdom is right here. That's what our youth learned this week. The kingdom of God is at hand. Why we should miss it? We shouldn't. So, let's take away these three concepts. Let's be faithful to the Lord. This is better than any human strategy or human strength. Let's have memory of his blessings and be grateful. And please, by all means, avoid this cycle of rebelling to the Lord and making your lives a misery. There's no need for that, because we got a Savior, a faithful keeper of his word, a faithful partner of the covenant. Let's take advantage of that with a grateful heart. Amen. Will you please stand up? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much again, because there's so much beauty and truth and blessings in your word. Thank you, Father, for the character that you gave to Joshua, and how after all his life, His conclusion was, the best way to go is to know the Lord of the Lord, the word of the Lord, to abide by His word, to be grateful, and to not step out of the covenant. Thank you, Father, for that instruction to us today. And Father, You know our weaknesses. Please, Lord, give us the grace to make the right decisions this week and not failing our part in this gracious covenant that You have invited us to be. Thank You, Lord. And Father, please help us for the next Sunday, for the next sermon, that we will find Jesus Christ in it. We ask You and we trust You. And in Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, XICF. See you next Sunday. God bless you.